Have a conversation offline.
Don't take your father's car if you can't.
Sydney's arts and culture show.
Flat Earth Society had this big conspiracy theory about
arts.
These kind of false idols.
On 2SCR 107.3.
Good morning and welcome to Carve, your weekly wrap-up and exploration into contemporary arts and culture in Sydney. My name is Ellen, and I am hosting this show on this beautiful Saturday morning. But before we start the show, I would like to acknowledge the Gadigal people, who are the traditional custodians of this land from where we are broadcasting. I would also like to pay respect to the elders, past, present, and emerging of the Eora Nation. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. How has your week been? This week, I finally started watching The Handmaid's Tale. I know, I'm only 4 years late to the party. However, the program is, of course, still quite topical in view of the Sydney Women's March for Justice happening this Monday. I also spoke to Anna Mae Kirk about her project Supper Sessions, which is a new experimental arts funding model that combines delicious food with community exchange. Our conversation will be aired after some tunes. Don't touch that dial.
We'll be right back.
You just heard Joan Jett's 1981 banger, Bad Reputation, as well as Linda by Sydney Four Piece, The Boys, which is spelt B-U-O-Y-S. It's not a bunch of boys. So Supper Sessions is a new experimental arts funding model for the arts community by the arts community. On the last Sunday of each month, Supper Sessions sets the table for a big, delicious celebratory feast. All profits are pooled into an independent $1,000 grant awarded to an artist on the night to kickstart a creative project. This week, I sat down with founder of Supper Sessions, Anna May Kirk, to find out more. Anna, thank you for joining us in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
You have described Supper Sessions as an experimental arts funding model. What inspired this project?
So this project is in response to the decreasing government funding that the arts has been receiving over the past 5 to 10 years. It's getting pretty dire out there. So I wanted to create a project that had a celebratory solution to this and enabled the arts community to fund itself. And so Supper Sessions was born. And Supper Sessions is a monthly community dinner that sets the table for 30 people for a celebratory dinner around a long table, shared food and a guest chef each time. And 40% of the ticket goes into an artist grant, which is awarded to an artist at the end of the dinner. And that grant is $1,000. So it's a small grant, but it's meant to, you know, kickstart an idea, pay for a bit of studio space, maybe help with travel or material costs.
Wow, that's so cool. And during 2020's lockdown, we were stuck in the house, so we had the opportunity to try out new recipes. I myself got into baking and made a very basic banana bread. What do you think the importance of preparing and sharing food is in our current climate?
I think there's so much cultural recovery that needs to happen at the moment. We have missed each other so much. I've missed gathering around tables with my friends, but also with strangers and having the opportunity to meet new people all of last year. And so this is a really great opportunity to not only... It's a good time for a good cause. Like, it's a great way to meet new people, have a little dance, COVID permitting, and also contribute to an artist's vision each month.
Totally. And what's the vibe of the night? Like, what can you expect from going to Supper Sessions?
It is deliciousness, it is laughing, it's good music, it's, you know, piles of food in the middle of the table, delicious food prepared by different guest chefs that you can dive into and all share. So it's all about sharing. It's about sharing ideas, food, and also our financial contributions with artists.
Totally. And yeah, you said it's an opportunity for artists to meet new people and feel a sense of community. Why do we need this more than ever?
Well, I think in terms of last year, we really missed that. And so this is a chance to come together once again, not only to connect with each other interpersonally, but also to elevate each other's ideas, whether that's the amount of money that you're contributing through your ticket to Supper Sessions to an artist's vision, or, you know, you hear someone's project while you're sitting around the table and they need a rehearsal space. And you're like, oh, I know a guy.
Totally.
And so, yeah, it really doesn't just benefit the artist, it benefits the people sitting around the table as well.
There's no better way to meet people than around food and drinks. So, yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. And so, yeah, you said for each Supper Sessions event, you invite a different renowned chef to prepare a feast. And who is headlining your next event?
Well, spoiler alert, Shaman Suku, who's an incredible artist and also an incredible cook, is doing the next one. And yeah, I'm not going to reveal anything, but it's going to be very special.
Beautiful. And Anna, what do you envision the future of Supper Sessions to look like?
I would love to do merch.
Yes.
So not only monthly dinners, but imagine like a fancy apron or a fork and... I think people have done tote bags. I think we need silly merch now. I think we need like knife and fork sets, maybe a chef hat. Yeah.
I heard that Mud Ceramics is actually providing the dinnerware or the tableware for your
They event. Have, yeah. Supper Sessions is a really big collaborative effort. So Mudd have come on board and they have provided all the beautiful ceramic tableware. Poor Toms have been providing us with some delicious gin. Young Henry's have given us some wine. Viticult has given us... Oh, sorry. Young Henry's has given us beer and Viticult has given us wine. It's been really beautiful to have all these people come on board and provide us with things that make for such a good night. And 107 Projects is, of course, providing the venue, which is the beautiful rooftop garden that they have.
Oh, it's so beautiful up there.
It's gorgeous. It's Sydney sunset galore.
And how do we come to Supper Sessions?
So if you head to suppersessions.com.au and click attend, that's where you can purchase tickets. Tickets to Supper Sessions number 2, which is happening on the which is happening on the 28th of March, will go live on the 15th of March. So that's on Monday.
Yeah, and yeah, it all sounds very delicious and I really am going to mark my calendar and get myself a ticket. Anna, thank you so much for joining us today on Carve.
Thank you.
I was just speaking with Anna May Kirk, founder of Supper Sessions, which is a new experimental arts funding model that combines delicious food with community exchange. Tickets for this month's Supper Sessions will be on sale this Monday, the 15th, for $90 per person. Purchase your tickets at suppersessions.com.au. But be quick, spots are limited. Did you discover anything new about yourself during lockdown? Our second guest today, artist Danny Paradiso, discovered a new joy for hentai and created a song about her experience. Unfortunately, we can't play the song on air because it's a little naughty, but Octopus Song will be available to be listened to on our website, 2ser.com/carve-arts. But don't go anywhere, I've got some more music for you.
Want to get a special, limited edition 2SER t-shirt?
Of course you do.
Sign up to 2SER as a passionate subscriber and we'll throw one in the mail for you.
You'll also get a subscriber card, a sticker for your car, fridge or laptop, and the latest issue of our Listening Post magazine.
Subscribe today at 2SER.com.
Just there we had Drone by Chastity Belt, and we also had Precious and Perfect by local band Sports Bra. Danny Paradiso is a Sydney-based artist whose practice involves performance, social media, video, and sculpture. Paradiso works with cute aesthetics to explore excessive consumption in pop culture and on the internet. Sally chatted to Danny about her practice, and to begin the interview, we'll play some audio from Danny's video work, Free Your Mind.
I'm going to find myself. I'm going to find who I am. Leave only footprints. I'm going to find who I am.
That was a clip from our next guest, Danny Paradiso. In the clip, Danny is wandering aimlessly against a green screen backdrop of famous sights around the world, wearing stockings on her head so they look like long beige-coloured hair and a backpack. You can watch the video online. It's called Free Your Mind on YouTube by Danny Paradiso. Well, hi, Danny. Welcome to Carve.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You create hyper-real realities in your work that just deconstruct the capitalist, consumeristic structures that oppress marginalized communities. And I wanted to know, who are these communities?
So I feel like specifically for me, I like to talk a lot about sexuality and gender within my work. So I identify as queer. I suppose it comes across because they're my lived experiences. I feel like I naturally kind of have that sort of a lens when I'm making my work. So sometimes it's purposeful, but sometimes I feel like it just kind of comes out, and then later when I'm unpacking it, I'm like, okay, that's probably referring to a bit of this, you know?
That's what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Is there an artwork that explores queerness of yours?
So I feel like specifically about queerness of itself, but there's just elements of that come through my work. I think the work that probably explores it the most would be Pink Money. It goes along with like these sculptures and this installation piece and this film piece, that it's very campy in aesthetic. And like later when I was kind of looking through the footage and looking at it, I kind of was like, oh, that's definitely like that is coming, like that part of my identity that I feel like is kind of intrinsically coming out through the work.
Is this the video where you're getting, like, you're drinking wine and you've got pink lipstick all over your mouth?
Yes!
Yeah.
That's it. And there's literally pink money. And pink money is literally a term for queer capitalism, queer consumer culture. So, which I didn't even realise till post. Yeah, it's very much like about, you know, like ANZ being like gay ANZ, you know, and that kind of queer consumer culture.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't know about that either.
Yeah.
Cool. And where did you learn about that? Like, is that through like an online community that you?
Time goes so strangely at the moment. When I was doing my honours work, I was doing it about pink and cute aesthetics in academia and in art. And so when I was making my work, I naturally, like, I just came across the term pink money. And this was after I made all of these paper pink bills, which, oh my god, took hours, and I just didn't even clock it was going to take it, because I printed them one-sided, so I was just cutting out and gluing these like $100 pink fake bills. I realized, I was reading about it all online, and I was like, oh, it's a literal term, pink money. Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool, because you do explore the internet a lot in your work. I was wondering what interests you about the internet, and what is that cute aesthetic that you're referring to?
Yeah, so in terms of the internet, I feel like because we grew up, I feel like I grew up so heavily on the internet, you know, when it was first really booming and becoming like this thing, and you had the dial-up sound, and it's very nostalgic for a lot of people, and MSN was like the way you would communicate, and like it just has slowly, well, not slowly at all, actually, scrap that, like very quickly became this other like amalgamation of information, and there's a lot of pockets of toxicity, and the way algorithms are formed, and it's just evolved into this other beast. And I think what interests me about the internet is
the way it brings people together, but at the same time creates these pockets or these separate, what's the word for it? Like, like it kind of at first was this way of all of us coming together and sharing our information, to now where it's just like become this vessel for separating us all even further. It's very interesting. And all the aesthetics that have popped up from the internet as well. Like, it's very cool, very crazy.
Yeah, I always think, like, I had a filter on TikTok the other day, and it was such an amazing filter. It looked like I had a full face of makeup on, and I was just, like, sitting at home, like, not looking my best. And then I put this filter on, and I was like, wow, I could just post this photo and people would think that I'm wearing makeup and I look amazing, and, like, my, you know, my cheeks are skinnier than they should be and my eyes are bigger. And all of a sudden I'm like, I'm really actually putting out sort of a false persona of myself, because sitting here, I don't look like this.
There's this, like, crazy app I found recently called Beauty Cam. I re-came across it because I had it ages ago, got rid of it, and then I re-downloaded it recently. And there's this thing called AI portraiture or something, and it, like, captures your face and it just completely transforms it. Like, it makes your jawline slimmer. It's like the filters on Instagram, and it's just like, oh, and what you can do, actually, so my friend was, she showed me, she was doing it. You put the photo through the AI imaging, get the photo, save it, and then you keep doing it to the same photo till eventually you get these, like, alien-like images.
Wow.
Which is so foreign from you, but it's just like, I'm like, God, that could be, like, art in of itself, because it's just, it's nuts.
Yeah. It's crazy. And you're wearing, like, the cutest pink headphones right now with these little cat ears. Is that part of your cute aesthetic? And is that the kind of vibe that you explore in your work?
Sure, definitely. So I think for a really long time, and, I mean, even now, cute aesthetics have gotten a real, like, just a, like, especially in our adult women, like, a kind of a bad rap. Just in the way of, like, I've always really adored pink and cutesy stuff, but it's something that I never felt like I could really explore about myself. When I was younger, it was because being pink and cute, that was like, you know, it wasn't very cool. Like, I was shamed for it. Yeah. Like,
girl.
And then, yeah, exactly. Like, the main thing was being a tomboy and being like, oh, I'm one of the boys.
Yeah, like, I want to be Sporty Spice, not Baby Spice.
Yeah, Baby Spice sucks. I hate her. I hate the colour pink. I've never loved it. I don't love it now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And then as I got older, like, I found a lot of, like, that dialogue changed, but instead it was, like, a lot from women in terms of, like, the idea of liking pink and liking things that are cute meant that I was infantilizing myself, or that I, again, wasn't being true to my, like, womanhood, like, quotation marks. Like, very, is that like third wave kind of feminism?
I think so. Yeah. Contemporary.
Very much not about, you know, your choice to present. And so it kind of got to a point for me where I was just like, I just don't understand how just a colour and a look became so political. And, like, I'm like, no other colour has gotten this much flack, I swear. Like, so when I was writing up my paper, it kind of became this real rebellion thing for me, where I was just like, there's got to be a reason as to why one of the most used, loved and hated colours, what's the reason?
Yeah,
why do we love
so
it? Why do we hate it?
Controversy.
Where's it coming from? What does it stem from?
Yeah, patriarchy.
And it was the same for the cute stuff. Like, and for me it was about taking power in that and being like, no, I do like it and I'm allowed to like it, and here's all the great things about it, and here's why it's cool. Here's why it's not just cutesy, like, it's also badass. It's also power. It's me, like, you know, taking ownership of my body. Yeah.
I have one more question for you, and it's about your newest song work that we unfortunately, yeah. we can't play it on the radio because it is a little naughty, but without giving away too much, what is the song about and what are you looking at exploring?
Okay, so it's a bit of a cheeky song, you're right. Essentially, during lockdown, I got really invested in, monster stuff, if you will.
Yeah.
And I kind of, got to this point where I was, because I'm very open and very, what can I say on
sexually,
it? Sexually,
yeah, you can say, well, it's about hentai. People listening, if you don't know what that is, you can Google it if you're old enough. But you've got interested in monsters, and there's an octopus.
yes. So, in the way that tentacle hentai came to be was because back in ye olde day. Japanese manga artists couldn't portray genitals in their media. So what they ended up doing was using very phallic-looking
animals,
things.
Instead.
So that's how I'm like... It's always very much interested me. And essentially, I've always been very, very open with friends and stuff about the different things that I... enjoy and I like and it's really funny because whenever you bring up monster hentai, people are like, oh no, I've never, but so often people actually have, so often they'll be like, oh my god, actually same, me too, and it's a coy, and it's if so many of us have, why is it this big deal? It's just this nothing thing. It's just another psych, crazy thing that we all occasionally
enjoy.
And I just wanted to kind of make something that was playful with that. Especially now, because I feel with internet culture, there's been a lot of normalization of kinks and rougher sex. And so I guess it's topical. It's something that I feel is very relevant right now, especially with TikTok. There's been a rise in anime again, or at least people who are like, yeah, I watch anime, screw you. And so it's kind of like, yeah, I watch monster hentai, screw you. So I guess this is a call to arms to all my fellow monster hentai lovers. Let's all join in, have a little bit of a giggle, and bloody enjoy it. I feel no shame.
Oh, Danny, thank you so much for joining Carve today.
Thank you so much.
Sally was just speaking to Danny Paradiso about her work Octopus Song. You can follow Danny's internet antics on Instagram at sweet_baby_princess or on YouTube. And if you are intrigued by Danny's new song, we have put it on our website so you can listen at www.carve2ser.com/carve-arts. She is also exhibiting at Gaffer Gallery in two exhibitions called Lockdown Showdown and Metamoirs in early June. But don't go anywhere, because up next, Lockie will be chatting to Frank Blanco about his new EP, Blanco Diaries. But here are some tunes to get you there.
Across one weekend this April, join some of the most exciting artists in Australian music for a spectacular series of free outdoor concerts at Sydney Opera House, including live performances from Jack River, Ziggy Ramo, Becca Hatch, JK47, Milan Ring, DJ Plead and heaps more, plus an unforgettable finale from the Sydney Symphony Orchestra. Sign up now to be amongst the first to access tickets for the weekend of free outdoor concerts. April 9 to 11 at sydneyoperahouse.com. Sponsors of 2SER.
Up the top, we had Tech Bro by Childbirth from their album Women's Rights. And we just heard Princey's Internet Friend. Frank Blanco is a Sydney-based hip-hop artist making waves in the music scene with his fresh take on the hip-hop genre, taking influence from rock, indie and pop, as well as old-school and new-school rap. His brand-new EP, Blanco Diaries, was released yesterday, and he joins Lockie to chat about it now.
Frank Blanco, thanks so much for joining me today.
All good. My pleasure.
Got you on here today to talk about your newly released EP, Blanco Diaries. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, this is a 2-song EP, just released it. This one's more of a step for me because it's pretty different to some of my other stuff. And I'm trying to tap into more of the new school, some of the more new school / old school, but these styles have been like newly popularized by artists that I listen to. So
yeah, what
I sort of put my swing on it and just tried artists.
Yeah, what artists?
Well, the two tracks, they both have like a different style. Probably the first one has like an R&B, probably Lil TJ, mostly inspired. And the second track, Poor Stacey, Ian Dior, Travis Barker, all their new school styles.
Yeah, totally. There's definitely like a massive kind of difference between the two songs that I noticed. And both of them are kind of very, yeah, I noticed that kind of what you were saying, very different from your other kind of sounds. Stranger in particular, the second song on the EP has just this really kind of addictive energy to it and just this complete, just catchy hook about it. What was the kind of songwriting process like on that one?
Well, that one was actually me and my friend Alex, and we were just sort of jamming out, not planning on anything in particular, but then on this beat, we sort of felt we needed to write about a bit of a classic heartbreak song, get something that people can relate to. And it was us two just going at it. What was at the top of our head when we heard the beat? Because that's what I like to do. I like to hear a beat and then write down what vibe the beat gives me.
Production wise for these, what was the story? Where did you do it? Did you do it in your bedroom, in a studio? Where did it happen?
These are all in my dad's shed. This is all in the back shed of my house, on the desk, surrounded by tools, bikes, just everything, just right in the middle.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing. I mean, like, the production quality on them is pretty amazing considering they were done in a shed. I'm just taken aback by that, to be honest. What's the meaning behind the title of the EP, Blanco Diary? It sounds very...
Blanco Diaries.
Yeah, it just sounds very autobiographical. It sounds reflective. You're still very young, I guess, in your career and in life. What inspired that name?
Well, yeah, Blanco Diaries, it's just because... it's, as I said before, it's a new part of me since I've changed it up a lot. And I just wanted to start that as Blanco Diaries, diary, writing down my thoughts. That's basically what these two songs were, straight off the head. And so probably in the future, I'll do some part twos, threes to the Blanco Diaries. So it'll probably become a frequent thing for my EPs and albums.
If we could delve a little bit, I guess, to each song, if you don't mind me asking, you said it was kind of just very much about writing down what was going on with you in your head at the time. And speaking of time, that is the name of the first track. What inspired that song? We've talked about it musically, but lyrically and from a songwriting perspective, what inspired that song?
From hearing a lot of friends around me, people that I'm close to, the experiences that they've gone through, and obviously to do with love-related things, relationships. And I just expressed a lot of the things I've heard and that other people could relate to do with these relationships. And I made it pretty broad, went in depth in the chorus, "All I need is time and space." I've heard a lot of that. And yeah, just wanted to express it through this type of song because it worked.
And with Stranger, the second track on the album, we talked in a bit before, you mentioned that it was kind of inspired by heartbreak and breakups. Any more kind of detail in that into what inspired the track?
Well, this one's similar to the first track, but it was just me and my friend Alex in there. We're expressing the things that we've heard, but even also... just some people around me, friends, experience of my own. If you listen to the lyrics, a few things describe that, people becoming more distant and yeah, just trying to express it that way.
Yeah, cool. You mentioned a lot, I guess, about how with this EP and I guess with stuff going forward, you're kind of moving away from, I guess, other sounds that you've worked with in the past. As an artist and when you first kind of got into making music, what inspirations and what sounds would you consider to have been your classic sound?
My classic sound?
Yeah, well, I don't know. That might be a blank way of putting it, but...
like the original sound that I went for that like grew who I was as an artist?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, in my early song-making days, it was... XXXTentacion, who else? But ASAP Rocky, Ski Master, Slump God. That then when the whole SoundCloud rap wave came along, I sort of hopped onto that a bit, but then I moved away a bit after that. Yeah,
I get also the sense. I mean, in these latest two releases, it's not kind of what people would consider classic hip hop. Like you do a lot of songwriting that is very much set in melody and you really are, you know, you're not just making beats and putting down lyrics. Real musicality to it all. Is that a thing that you're purposefully trying to do musically?
Yeah. Because I started off with a lot of that, what you were talking about, just putting down that beat, doing some rhymes. Now I'm focusing more on the meaning because when I listen to songs, I've realized that I actually listen to the lyrics and want to listen to songs that I can relate to. Mm. So I'm trying to put together songs, a good listenable melody and some stuff that people can relate to, but also stuff that is trending at the moment.
Yeah. Do you, moving away from just your influences as a songwriter, but just you personally in your life, do you, you know, music, do you listen to all sorts of different kind of music? Do you stick more to hip hop? Do you?
Well, I do have a pretty wide range. It goes from regular rap to rock to bit of pop, indie, but I'd say mostly rap, UK rap, and then also a bit of rock, and then a little bit of pop here and there.
Mm, yeah, totally. You can definitely hear it, I guess. Like, even if that sort of stuff isn't immediately, like, even if that's not the influences that you immediately come out and talk about, you can hear that you definitely have a wide range of musical listening, which I think is, you know, great in terms of not being stuck in a genre. Yeah, sorry, that's just a little rap I thought I'd give you there.
thank you.
Well, you're welcome, mate. What I'm interested in now is what's next for Frank Blanco. What's the next, strategy or just musically? What are you feeling? What's going on next?
Well, musically, I'm going to try get those last few styles, especially from this EP that I've done, and I'm going to try stretch them out, add a bit of my own twist to them. And hopefully next thing I'll work on is a complete album. Mm. So probably 10 plus songs. I've already got a few songs lined up ready for it.
Yes.
And in between that, maybe just a few singles here and there, trying to spread my range of types of music and see what goes best.
I can't bloody wait for it. And I'll make sure to have you back on the show. You know, next time you got a great release like this to talk about, I'm certainly invested. Hey, thanks so much for coming on. I can't wait to hear what's next. Frank Blanco, everybody.
Oh, thank you so much.
That was Lockie chatting with Sydney hip-hop artist Frank Blanco. You can listen to his new EP, Blanco Diaries, on all major music streaming platforms, including Apple Music and Spotify, right now. But I thought I'd play one for you guys right now. We've got Time by Frank Blanco. Here it is.
Levi got hit.
Language warning on this one.
Jabez, oh my god.
All I need is time and space. Girl, the loving ain't a rest. I just wanna see your face. I just wanna see your smile. All I need is time and space. Girl, the loving ain't a rest. I just wanna see your face.
I might put in the grind if I want to. You might run out the door, so I flaunt you. I might run out the door, but I want you. I might put in the ground if I want to. You might run out the door, so I flaunt you. I might run out the door, but I want you.
On the track and it's making me wavy. Bitter come over, she calling me baby. I hit a lick on a boy on the daily. It's crazy. Crazy that you hate me, love me, hate to love me. Baby, hug me uglies on my line all week. Run another track, I ski. Run up on your tiny feet. Run it up, run it up.
All I need is time and space. Girl, the loving ain't a rest. I just wanna see your face. I just wanna see your smile. All I need is time and space. Girl, the loving ain't a rest. I just wanna see your face.
I want her to add a little bit of sweet and a little bitty smile. I'ma see it for a while, but you acting like a child. But you act like one. But you act like. But you act like a baby when it doesn't get candy. A lion that's really not dandy.
Steady calling my phone. I done told you before that it's over.
A slide if you wanna come over. Like a Benz, yeah, enough for a rover.
Space. Girl, the loving ain't a rest. I just wanna see your face. I just wanna see your smile. All I need is time and space. Girl, the loving ain't a rest. I just wanna see your face.
All right, guys, thank you so much for spending your Saturday morning with me, Ellen Formby, on Carve. I hope you get a good dose of vitamin D, and maybe I'll catch you at the Sydney Women's March for Justice happening this Monday. As always, we'll put all the details for everything we've covered on today's show on our website, which is 2ser.com/carve-arts. See you next week. Here's Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill.